All right, welcome back. 239-1310, 239-1310, it's Afternoons with Amos. So yesterday, for the first time in, I can't remember when the last time an Indianapolis church, regardless of race, regardless of denomination, held a civil disobedience protest in Indianapolis that resulted in arrests. There have been civil disobedience protests in Indianapolis in recent years. They have been done by union members and sympathizers who are trying to organize hotel workers downtown. But never, I'm scratching my brain trying to remember the last time something like this happened, but it happened out at Light of the World Church as some 200-plus members of Light of the World Church left Sunday services, went to the frontage of their church on Michigan Road. A number of members lined the sidewalk on either side of Michigan Road, and approximately 75 entered the roadway on Michigan Road, and 13 were arrested, including the senior pastor elect, Dr. David Hampton. He was taken to the ever beautiful Arrestee Processing Center downtown on Market Street, where he was released, they tell me, around 5 o'clock in the morning. So hopefully he's had a nap, but he's on our live line. Pastor, welcome.
Hello. Thank you, Amos.
So first of all, the reason for the protest?
Well, the reason for the protest was, of course, we had three primary messages. One was a local contribution to the national conversation around Trayvon Martin. You know, this for me, Amos, was a continuity of the type of social justice that I personally am involved in, have been even when I was here in Indianapolis, was when I went off to Brooklyn, New York. This is a continuity of Light of the World and how Light of the World and Bishop Benjamin have operated for years. So, and you know, I know I'm in the company with some other great pastors who do the same, but for me, it was a matter of our conviction, standing up as Christians and concerned citizens toward this national tragedy that's reminiscent of Michael Taylor here in Indianapolis, Leonard Barnett, Sean Bell, and the list goes on and on and on. Some may not agree fully with the tactic, but certainly we are trying to shed light on the issue, trying to raise awareness, consciousness. Doing nothing will certainly not add to the conversation, but we have to begin to do something. And it was not just the Trayvon Martin case, but we also wanted to shed light on the state level because we carry the same law, the Stand Your Ground law here in Indiana. Mm-hmm. We'd like to shed some light on that, to review that law, which is very dangerous. And then the third message was simply, we also want to speak out against black-on-black violence in our own community. We have to share in a message of equal, you know, equal understanding, of equal admonition. We are just as adamant against black-on-black violence as we are George Zimmerman killing a young, unarmed teenager, Trayvon Martin.
As I described what happened yesterday, was that accurate? This occurred after Sunday service. Did you preach about this in the sermon yesterday?
I did make reference in the sermon. Of course, you know, when we understand Jesus, you have to preach the totality of Jesus along with justice. Jesus wasn't either or; he was and in both. And so, you know, of course, it was Palm Sunday. It was called Palm Sunday Prayer and Protest Day, but I just simply made reference to it. I didn't preach about it. I preached Jesus, but understanding that Christ was upset when he overturned the tables of the money changers who were, you know, committing wrongdoing in the temple. So we felt we were right in line with Christ. It was a more radical demonstration. Nevertheless, it was peaceful. I did instruct the congregation prior to us going out after service, and you know, Light of the World is a great church. Everybody was excited, on board, ready to stand up. You have mothers who have teenagers. You have men who are ready to stand up for our young people. It was great for our young people to be there and to see us standing up for them. And you know, we're not the only church with a voice, but we're hoping that we represented other churches and our city well. We're hoping that we also fostered ongoing positive police-community relations and conversation. IMPD did a stellar job, at least in the way that they handled us. I want to commend Chief Soselsky, Public Safety, Deputy Director Richard Height. I mean, they did a great job. But my point was, we were willing to be arrested to demonstrate. However, if our own police department would arrest us for obstructing traffic, then there needs to be an arrest of George Zimmerman for murdering a black teenager. It's preposterous, it's ridiculous, and if we continue to let it happen, which it happens a lot, then it will continue to happen. If we don't do anything, it'll continue to happen.
We're with Dr. David Hampton, pastor-elect of Light of the World Church, about the demonstration yesterday. Pastor, in talking to people about this yesterday and today, one of the questions that people asked me, they said, if you're going to talk to Dr. Hampton, ask him, what's next? I mean, here was this event. It got on television last night and this morning. It's in the morning paper. We're talking about it today. Right. But what's next? Some people say, okay, is this just a one-time thing? Once you go to jail, what are you going to do next? You go to jail again? What's the next step?
Right. I don't think I want to go to jail anytime in the next 6 months to a year. the demonstration made CNN, but that's not really the major importance. The importance is, what do we do next? I would like to ask the community, other pastors, my colleagues, other churches, let's join together and perhaps even use this event. And, there was another march last Monday, which was great. We need to take every opportunity to engage in conversation. And that's what I'm hoping will follow from our demonstration yesterday. I would like to open up and engage conversation in the community. I could host some at Light of the World. I'm inviting other pastors to be host churches as well. But we need to spark a conversation in our community. We cannot keep sweeping these issues under the rug. I don't want to wait on another Michael Taylor incident. We don't want to wait on another incident. Our jails are filled with black, our prisons and jails are filled with black men who have killed other black men. That's a fact. We don't have a lot of white men who are in jail for killing black men. There are numerous police shootings of black men that we don't even hear about, let alone Trayvon Martin, and they go unanswered. We have to talk about it. We have to stand up. We have to voice our frustrations. We also have to address black-on-black crime. We have to address the issues. What are we going to do with our youth? Where are the youth programs? What can we do to prevent the shootings that happened on the canal? What can we do in our city as a community? As a matter of fact, at some point, we as a black community have to stop blaming everybody else, and we have to take some responsibility for our part in this process. So that's what I'd like to see, some follow-up.
One of the things that I pointed out was, this is the first time that there has been a civil disobedience organized by a church, and forget the doesn't matter the denomination, doesn't matter the race, that resulted in arrest as part of the protest. And it is amazing to me. I've been having a Twitter argument with someone on Twitter who is just trying to just argue me down that there have been other protests. They said, well, Reverend so and so was arrested with hotel workers. Well, the union organized that, not a church. And then somebody's reminding me of peace activists that were arrested in protesting the Iraqi war. Well, that was done by peace organizations. Right. And, sometimes I think that the general community thinks that, every time they hear about a reverend, particularly a black reverend, well, that must be the church doing. Well, not necessarily.
Right, right.
Your reaction to that?
There are some who think the church is not doing anything. They certainly need to talk to Reverend Ware, who you had on the show. They need to talk to Pastor Clay, who is head of the local National Action Network. There are other pastors. We just don't hear a lot about what's being done. Churches are doing things every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Tuesday with their youth. Whatever they do through the week, we just don't hear about it. Something like this that's so radical is not necessarily something that's done all the time. But again, for me, this is something that I'm staying in my lane. I'm doing what I know to do. When I was in Brooklyn, I marched with Sean for the Sean Bell case. I was happy to go to jail for that cause. even when I was here in Indianapolis pastoring, we did demonstrate it was not a civil disobedience, but there was one summer a few years ago, if you remember, the violence was so bad that many were speaking out. There were many prayer vigils. We did, demonstrate even then, and that was almost 5-6 years ago. So this isn't something for me that's new. This isn't something that's new for light of the world. I know Bishop Benjamin has done some things in his 42-year tenure as well. For me, it's a continuity of the calling that God has placed on my life, and I think the church does not need to be afraid to stand up and, if need be, go to prison. Sometimes the best gospel preaching comes from prison. Paul could tell us that. So sometimes you have to preach Jesus in jail. Sometimes the best justice is Jesus and justice. So at least we did have a message that was Christian-based. Mm-hmm. At least we were a group of concerned Christians and citizens who were willing to speak up on a very volatile issue.
One of the things as part of the demonstration, one of the three tenets had to do with that Indiana's self-defense law incorporates part of the stand your ground philosophy, that right. The Florida law came. And let me give you a reaction to news that is literally just breaking within the last 10 to 15 minutes, and that is that Justice Frank Sullivan of our Indiana Supreme Court, who is one of only two, what I would say, moderate members of the court, has announced his retirement, which will give Governor Daniels the opportunity to appoint another justice to the court, giving him the ability to literally shape the Supreme Court for years to come. And it's surprising that Justice Sullivan would step down now and not wait to find out the results of the November election. When we talk about laws and a court, to see our Supreme Court so radically shaped within a year by one governor, that's got to be a little scary.
Yeah, one of our church members, Tracy Richardson, yesterday said that the Stand Your Ground law is reminiscent of state-sanctioned killing. Mm-hmm. That's not really that far from the truth. I mean, if anybody on any given day, you can be black, walk down the street, ask somebody white for a stick of chewing gum, they consider you a threat to their lives and shoot you in cold blood and get away with it. Stand Your Ground will stand behind them. Something's wrong with that. And we have to review it. It's dangerous. It's a ticking time bomb waiting to happen. And the Trayvon Martin shooting, George Zimmerman shooting, that is really not the first under that law. Right. It's happened in Texas, and it has probably happened here in Indianapolis. We just haven't heard about it yet.
One final thing. You had a front row seat in the Arrestee Processing Center down on Market Street. Your reaction to that experience?
Again, I commend IMPD. I'll probably have to do a little bit more community relations with the sheriff department. They left me in a little bit longer. Everybody else was released, I think, perhaps, to teach me a lesson. I don't know, but I stayed in longer than what I feel I should have. Mm-hmm. But, we can talk about that privately with the sheriff's department.
Oh, I'm sure. I would not be surprised, since the folks in the sheriff's office listen to this program. I wouldn't be surprised if you get a call from the sheriff himself.
Yeah, I was treated with courtesy.
But
longer than what I wanted to stay.
So you're telling me
traffic violation, and here George Zimmerman walks around free. I stayed in jail 15 hours for a traffic violation.
You weren't the only one taken down to the APC?
No, there were 13 of us taken down. Those who did not proceed to jail, there were 5 of us who did. Mm-hmm. They were released before I was, and I stayed in for just a few hours more. But I was released this morning at 6 o'clock with no problem.
Sound like some okie doke going on down there at the APC.
Well, I don't know. I would love to ask why I wasn't released with the people I came in with, my members who came with me. We should have left together.
I would think so. Did you go before the judge?
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
At the same time?
No.
Oh.
Same time. I went much later.
Ooh. Uh-oh. This sounds like this is one of those A&E movie of the weeks.
I'm not saying that. I don't know what the motivation was. I don't know what the reason was. I'm not. I was treated with courtesy while there. However, I shouldn't have stayed as long as I did for such a minor infraction.
All right, my brother, Dr. David Hampton, his words of the demonstration yesterday and what happened. And we've got some pictures that about what happened at the rally. You can go to praiseindy.com, our website, praiseindy.com, later this afternoon, the audio of our interview with Dr. Hampton. Doc, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thank you, Amos.
239-13. Thank you.